Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. Sorry, it's a bit of a latey tonight. It's nearly 2 a.m. Why do I do these things in this fashion in my life? Why do I stall at the beginning of an episode because I haven't opened up the required pages? Why do I do it? Only time will tell. Or will it? Part 2, Chapter 19 of Anna Karenina. Judging by this chapter, Vronsky is either a jockey or a horse. It was the first question I asked you guys about Chapter 19. A bit of clarification there would be great. Karenin is overseas. Where did he go? That was probably explained, but I just couldn't remember. I wasn't sure. And what are your first impressions of Yashvin? I am a Norwegian, said Vronsky, is on some 19th century keto. That's the keto diet, because he was not eating starch and something, right? I wonder why both Vronsky and the portly officer were worried about his weight. We've met two friends of Vronsky so far, and both of them have been men of low morals, more concerned with having fun than anything else. Yashvin does seem much more refined in how he keeps himself busy. Corchot said, weight is important for the horse race. I am a Norwegian, said, I thought Ander was joking when he asked about Vronsky being a jockey. Jockeys are tiny, tiny men, and Vronsky weighs a regulation 73 kilograms. I also doubt he is short. Well, it's a race between the officers and of his regiment. He won't compete with professional jockeys if they existed at the time. Vronsky says, That last week was Corsho responding. Ugh. Swim said the mama fishy said, Vronsky is competing in a steeplechase, which is a higher weight limit than flat racing. Per the internet, steeplechase jockeys are taller and heavier than most flat jockeys. The weights carried by steeplechase horses are higher than those of flat runners, so the jockeys tend to weigh a bit more than their counterparts on the flat. Currently, steeplechase jockeys' weight limit is around 135 pounds, and flat jockeys is around 110 pounds for professional racing. So he is a jockey. But a heavy jockey. And when I say heavy, what I mean is apparently he's 73 kilograms. He's a good 25 kilograms less than me. 73 is not that big, is it? But I'm pretty overweight. Currently, my normal weight is about 75 to 80. That's my normal weight. And in the last couple of years, I am not my normal weight. Which is not cool. I think it's just when you become 30, you just get fat. So I need to lose a good 20 kilos. Before I can even be a jockey in the heavier, for big jockeys. Jeez. I'm just skimming through the chapter here, trying to find the name of the race. It was mentioned, wasn't it? It was definitely in here somewhere. Krasnoye Selo races. I'm going to Google that right now and tell you what I say. See. Krasnoye Selo, St. Petersburg. Is that a place? Oh, it is a place. Damn, I thought that was like the name of a type of race. Horse race. Okay, I'm getting some old looking pictures. Yep, okay. I've Google imaged it. I'm looking for dates here. I'm looking for dates on these images. Oh, they're too small to be able to read the dates. Um, 1977. That looks much older than 1977. So it looks like I can't tell you what it looks like because none of the pictures are loading big enough. Excuse me. It looks much the same as today's horse racing, just the clothes are different. They're wearing like kind of military looking uniforms while racing their horses. Okay. So, they're tiny, tiny men. No, they're not. They are bigger races. Sorry, I'm just getting sidetracked because I'm trying to figure out where I was up to on these comments. I skimmed right over the part where it was mentioned that Vronsky is participating in the race, says I'm Norwegian. Swim said the mum of fish. He said, I don't know. Oh, did I just skim over the part where it's mentioned that he's participating in a race? There seems to be quite a lot of confusion. No one seemed to realize that he was participating in a race, including me. But just from the discussions that they had in the chapter, I assumed he sounds like he's trying to get in. He's under the weight limit for the racing. Swim said the mum of fishy said, I don't know, but last chapter he bought a horse to race and he is watching his weight, plus blocking out annoying colleagues, and his friend is betting on him. All signs point that he is racing. Sorry, that he is entering the horse racing competition. So, I am Norwegian said, I just assumed that his friend was betting on his horse and not Vronsky himself, and that Vronsky was just the equivalent of a weird horse girl. I love the weird horse girl. Cool. We've all met a weird horse girl, haven't we? I when I was doing a bit of Uber driving, this was probably like maybe 2 years ago, I remember picking up someone who was going out into the Yarra Valley to a horse place. And she had kind of horse clothes on. And I'm like, oh, you're a horse person. She's like, yeah, yeah, I'm going out to see my horse and it's kept out on this thing out here. And so, and, you know. Anyway, I asked her, I was like, oh, this is a real horse person. You know, you can tell when someone's a horse person. And then I said, hey, who do you like better, horses or people? And before I'd barely even finished saying the question, she was like, horses. Like, no thought required. She either hated people or she loved horses or something in between. But that's a horse person. Like, they love horses so much more than they love people. Like, their horse or their husband, the husband is a distant second. Swim said the mum of fishy said, favourite line, he began twisting around his left moustache into his mouth, a bad habit he had. Vinny Too Cool says, so Vronsky is actually passionate enough about Anna, it's not just a jest or pastime, enough that he is ready to displease those that need to be pleased, pass up a promotion, and go visit Anna at her home when her husband's back. All right. I want to see some horse racing action. That's what I want to see. Alright. Who's with me? Yeah. So let's continue. Let's read chapter 20. Sorry about the funny pace of this episode. had a long night, and I'm very tired. Chapter 20 goes like this. Vronsky had his quarters in a roomy, clean, Finnish peasant cottage, divided in two by a partition. Here in camp also, Petritsky was asleep when Vronsky and Yashvin entered. Get up, you've slept enough, said Yashvin, stepping behind the partition and shaking by the shoulder the dishevelled Petritsky, who lay with his nose buried in the pillow. Petritsky suddenly sprang to his knees and looked around. Your brother has been here, he said to Vronsky. He woke me up, devil, take him. He said he would come back. And drawing up his blanket, he threw himself back on his pillow. Leave me alone, Yashvin, he said angrily to Yashvin, who was pulling the blanket off him. Leave off. He turned and opened his eyes. You had better tell me what to drink. I've such a horrid taste in my mouth. Vodka is better than anything, said Yashvin in his bass voice. Tereshchenko, vodka and pickled cucumbers for your master, he shouted. evidently enjoying the sound of his own voice. That's the most Russian thing I've ever heard. Vodka, you think, eh? Asked Petritsky, making a face and rubbing his eyes. And will you have a drink? Let us have a drink together. Vronsky, will you have a drink? Said Petritsky, getting up and wrapping himself to the arms in a rug of tiger skin pattern. He went to the partition door, held up his hands, and began singing in French. There was a king of Thule. Vronsky, will you have a drink? Get away, said Vronsky, as he put on the overcoat his servant had handed him. Where to now? Asked Yashvin. Here are the horses, he added, as he saw the caliche drive up to the door. To the stables, and then I have to go to Bryansky about the horses, said Vronsky. He had really promised to go to Bryansky's, who lived 7 miles from Peterhof, and pay him for the horses, and he hoped to make time to call there too. But his friends understood at once that it was not only there that he was going. Petritsky, still singing, winked his eyes and pouted as if to say, we know what sort of Bryansky it is. Mind, and don't be late, was all Yashvin said. And to change the subject, he asked, is my roan doing well? Looking out of the window at the middle horse, which he had sold to Vronsky. Wait, shouted Petritsky to Vronsky, who was already going out. Your brother left a letter for you and a note. Wait, where are they? Vronsky stopped. Well, where are they? Where are they? That is the question, declaimed Petritsky with solemnity, moving his finger upwards from his nose. Come, tell me, this is stupid, said Vronsky, smiling. I have not lighted the fire. They must be somewhere here. Enough of this. Where is the letter? No, really, I have forgotten. Or was it a dream? Wait, why get angry? If you had emptied 4 bottles ahead as we did last night, you would not know where you were lying. Wait a bit, I'll remember it directly. Petritsky went behind the partition and lay down on his bed. Wait, so I lay and he stood. Yes, here it is. And Petritsky drew the letter from under the mattress where he had put it. Vronsky took the letter and his brother's note. It was just what he had expected, a letter from his mother reproaching him for not having come to see her, and a note from his brother saying that they must talk things over. Vronsky knew that it all referred to the same subject. What business is it of theirs? Thought he. And crumpling up the letters, he pushed them in between the buttons of his coat to be read more attentively on the way. In the passage he met 2 officers, one of his own and one of another regiment. Vronsky's quarters were always the haunt of all the officers. Where are you going? I have to go to Peterhof. Has the mayor come from Tsarkoe? Yes, but I have not seen her since she came. They say Makotin's gladiator has gone lame. Nonsense, but how will you manage to ride through such mud? Said the officer. Other officer. These are the things to restore me, shouted Petritsky. On seeing the newcomers, the orderly stood before him with vodka and pickled cucumbers on a tray. Yashvin here has ordered vodka to freshen me up. Well, you did give it us last night, said one of the newcomers. You did not let us sleep all night. Oh, but how we finished up, said Petritsky. Volkov climbed out onto the roof and said he felt melancholy. I said, let us have music, a funeral march, and he fell asleep up there on the roof to the sound of the funeral march. Drink, you must drink some vodka and then some seltzer water with plenty of lemon, said Yashvin, standing over Petritsky like a mother urging her child to take its medicine. And after that, a little champagne, about a small bottle. Now, that is reasonable. Wait, Vronsky, let us have a drink. No, goodbye, gentlemen, I am not drinking today. Why, because of the weight? Well, then, we will drink by ourselves. Let's have seltzers and lemons. Vronsky, shouted someone as Vronsky was already leaving. What? You should have your hair cut. It will be too heavy, especially on the top. Vronsky was really beginning prematurely to get a little bald. He laughed merrily, showing his compact row of teeth, and drawing his cap over the bald patch, went out and got into the caliche. To the stables, he said, and was taking out the letter to read, but then changed his mind, not wishing to be upset by examining the horse. Later will do. All right, there we go. Another chapter down. Have your say over at the subreddit. Thank you very much for listening this night. And I'll see you tomorrow.